going forth to conquer and have a victorious life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever been going through life and everything seemed to be going well? I mean, you were at the top of the game. You know, the walls of Jericho were just supernaturally falling down for you, and obstacles that should cause you all sorts of problems had just collapsed, and you were just going through life victorious, you know, and you were experiencing the fragrance of life. And then all of a sudden you run up on something that shouldn't cause much trouble at all, but it does cause problems, and all of a sudden you find yourself going downhill, and life turns downhill, and the bottom falls out, and all of a sudden things start going badly, and it doesn't seem to have an apparent reason. You know, you have the favor of God, you're making your positive confessions, you're reading your Bible, and you're praying, and you're doing all these things, you're giving your tithes, you know, and you just think, man, you know, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out. What happens? Why is that? So I want to talk about that today. There is a reason. And we see this in this chapter of Joshua that we're looking at. In possessing the kingdom, what we're looking at is the book of Joshua, and we're learning the principles of taking the kingdom from what Joshua and the children of Israel experienced. They had crossed the Jordan. They had experienced circumcision. Now, they crossed the Jordan. We saw that the Jordan was a type of the water and the Spirit. They had gone into the water things and the Spirit things of God, and they had crossed on the other side, and God said, I want you to be recircumcised, which is God's dealing with our heart. They took Jericho. It just supernaturally fell down, and man, they were at the top of their game, and there's this little bitty town called Ai. That should have caused them no problems at all. And so Joshua decides that that's going to be the next attack. That's the next thing they need to accomplish as they possess the kingdom. So here is what happened. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 2, it says this. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. Joshua had done his homework. He had properly prepared. He was confident. The people were confident. They were making their positive confessions. They were speaking the word of the Lord. They had faith going on here. And so they get in this little army and they go up there and they get whipped. They get whipped badly. They have a terrible defeat. 36 men die. And it wasn't that big of a city. And it wasn't that big of a problem. It seemed apparent that they would just easily win. Now, have you ever had something like this in your life? You know, things seem to be good. You're doing well. Things are going well for you. You're chasing your dream. And then the bottom falls out. And all of a sudden, it seems for no apparent reason, you know, you're defeated by marriage, or you're defeated by rearing your children, or you're defeated in your finances. All of a sudden, you've experienced these defeats. What causes that? What happened? See, we're supposed to have victory. We're supposed to be more than conquerors. Then why do we experience sometimes defeat at things that we should win over? And this is what the story is about. You see, when these things happen, when we experience defeats in life, what God teaches us in this chapter of Joshua is what to do. You see, we have to find the Achan in us. Now, let me try to show you this story and help you understand what I keep referring to as finding the Achan in us. We learn much from Joshua in this thing. And the first thing that Joshua did is the very same things that all of us do when we experience a bad time. Joshua had a pity party. Come on. He had his own little pity party. Oh, God, why me? Oh, God, why did you let this happen? If I had just not listened to that preacher when he told me I should chase my dream, oh God, why? If I'd have just stayed in the wilderness and ate my little manna, if I'd have just lived in my little tent, but now I'm out here trying to do, oh God. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 7 says this, and Joshua said, Sovereign Lord, Why? Why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? If only, oh if only we had been content to stay on the other side of Jordan. You ever had a pity party? Yeah. Well, God is not impressed with your pity party. Right? Here's what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up! What are you doing down on your face? Why are you doing this? See, pity parties accomplish nothing. They fix nothing. And they frustrate the Lord. He is not impressed with our pity parties. And especially when we start going back. You see, He wants us to be abundant. He is thrilled when we step out. He is thrilled when we try to possess. When you're abundant, that means the kingdom is becoming abundant. If you're losing, that means the kingdom is losing. He doesn't want you to lose. What He wants us to do is check things out. Why are we losing? Let's evaluate this thing. Now, Joshua chapter 7 and verse 11 says this. This is what God said. I thought it was very interesting. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled, which means lied, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, there's some points I want to make here. First thing is that God says Israel hath sinned. Now, I don't know how familiar you may be with this story, but only one person had sinned. And all of those people, just one person had messed up. His name was Achan. But yet He says, Israel has sinned. They have. You see, the point that the Lord wants us to see is what I do affects you. What you do affects me. What you do affects your family. What you do affects your friends. And a lot of times the defeat that we experience in life is not because of something that I've done. It's because of something that maybe you've done. Or she did. Or Bonnie or Lance, you know? Surely it's not just me, right?
Can't be you all.
But what one of us does, it does have a tremendous impact on the rest of us. I want to talk about that more in a few moments, because there's just some things that we can't do if we want to live a victorious life. And the Lord also said here that they had taken of the accursed thing, then stolen, lied, and put it among their own stuff. Now, this is serious to the Lord. It's serious to the Lord when we take His stuff and put it among our stuff. It's serious to the Lord when He tells us not to touch something and not to do something, but we do it anyway. It becomes serious because it affects not just the person doing it, it affects the whole body. It affects the whole group of us. It affects our whole church. And the Lord sees it as stealing and as lying and taking stuff. But if we will learn to stay away from His stuff and keep His stuff separate from our stuff, we'll have victory after victory after victory. You see, what causes defeat so often is when we're mixing His stuff with our stuff, or we're touching things that we shouldn't be touching. We're doing stuff around things, doing things that we shouldn't be around and doing. And it causes us to lose battles and lose fights. So the Lord told the people before taking Jericho to stay away from the accursed thing. Let me read you the verse. It's in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. And it says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed. Now, please get this. Did the Lord curse them, or did they make themselves accursed? You need to see this. See, it sounds sometimes like God's cursing us. That's not what happens. What happens is that He says, if you'll stay away from this, you'll be blessed. But if you go under this and you put yourself in this situation, then bad things are going to happen to you. You make yourself, He says, an accursed thing. Lest you make yourself accursed. Then you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Verse 19 says, but all the silver and gold and vessels and brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. In other words, there were certain things that when they took Jericho, they could not touch because they were going to be separated or consecrated into the work of the ministry. They were going to be consecrated and separated into establishing the kingdom. And He says, you gotta leave these things alone. If you mess with these things, bad things happen. And then the first verse, though, in chapter 7 and verse 1 says this, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. It's interesting that he got angry because someone did something that affected the rest of us. God was upset with the entire bunch because of one person messing with the accursed thing. Now, what had happened here is this guy Achan had taken a Babylonian garment, clothes. He had taken shekels of silver, money, and a wedge of gold, and he'd put it among his own stuff. And it was supposed to be separated and consecrated to be with the Lord's stuff. Now, let me show you this word accursed in the Hebrew. The word means a shutting in, a net, usually a doomed object, extermination. So what it is a doomed object that causes a web or a net that will bring, if allowed, extermination. A lot of times when we experience defeats in life and we don't have victory in areas that we should have victories in, it's because we're messing with things or touching things that we know better than to mess with. What's the principle that the Lord really wants us to get here? There are some things that we cannot touch, participate in, or be around. There are some things that must be separated from our stuff and made sure that it becomes the Lord's stuff. And if we don't, we're going to experience defeats. We're not going to live the victorious life. But if we will, we will go through victory after victory after victory. Do you know people that always seem to come out on top? Do you know people that just seems no matter what happens and what they go through, they always win? They always come out on top. They're like a cat. You throw it in the air and they come down on the 4 feet. You know people like that? Well, what they're doing is they're making sure they're not touching what they shouldn't touch and not doing what they shouldn't do. And they have victory after victory after victory. And it's interesting to me here, and here's the meat of what I really want to say to us today. It was interesting to me that the Lord didn't tell Joshua. He didn't tell Joshua who it was. He didn't tell Joshua what the person who was responsible had done. He didn't give him specifics as to what he had taken or even where it was. He just put Joshua through this thing, this process of elimination. It was so interesting when I saw this and I began to think about this and meditate on this. You see, what he told Joshua to do is he says, Joshua, Israel has sinned. Now here's how you find it. Here's how you deal with it. I want you to bring all the people together before me. Start with this big picture. I want you to bring all the people together before me. And then out of all the people, I'm going to select one tribe. I'm going to narrow it down for you. And then after you've selected this one tribe, I'm going to select one family. And out of this one family, I'm going to select one person. And there was this process that Joshua had to go through. Why couldn't the Lord just go ahead and say, Joshua, it's Achan. Go deal with Achan. In our lives, do you ever wonder, God, why is this happening to me? What am I going through? Why can't I figure out? Just tell me, God. He's not going to tell you because He wants you to go through the process. And He made Joshua go through a process. And this is the thing I really want us to see. Because when we are really dealing with our lives and we really want to be victorious and we're having defeats, what God wants us to do is go through a process. Start with a bigger picture and then start narrowing it down piece by piece until we find the aching in us. And then deal with it. Harshly and severely. For the kingdom suffereth violence. And you need to deal with the aching in you violently. If you're going to have victory and live the life that God wants you to live victoriously and abundantly. So let's kind of look at this a little bit. I really want to talk about this some. We need to find the aching in us. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 25, you see, because this doesn't just affect me or one person or just the individual that's done it. It affects the whole family of Achan. And a lot of times the things that our family is experiencing is because one of us is messing up. Let me read this to you. In Joshua 7:25, Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all of Israel stoned him, Achan, and after they had stoned the rest, his family, they burned them. See, when I mess up, it affects my family. But I can bring my family victory. I can bring my family abundance. I can bring my family into a higher level by learning what the accursed things are and not messing with them. Are you hearing this? You see, a lot of times our families are going through things simply because the parent are messing up, or a parent, or a child. But anyway, we need to go through the big picture and start minimizing this down until we finally come to the conclusion of what the aching is. So, I want to do some of this. I want to look at a few things today, five specifically, that we are told not to touch. That we are specifically instructed in the Bible, don't touch this because this puts you in a bad place. That if you fool with these things, negative things happen. But if you will do it correctly, you'll live the abundant life, you'll live victoriously, and every battle that you face and come against, you're going to win. So, let's look at some of these. Here's the first one. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says this. Do not judge. How much clearer? What part of it, do not judge, do we not understand? Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then Paul, accenting on what Jesus had said in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says this. You, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. See, it's not God doing it. It's we're doing it to ourselves. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. See, my judging a person, let me say it another way. My not judging a person is a sure way to bring me victory and my family victory. My not judging will bring me victory in life. And what we've got to learn to do, and Christians are the world's worst. When we judge others, we are putting ourselves, we're touching the accursed thing. Let me ask you a question. And I'll put myself through this process, okay? We're going through the process. Ask you a question. Think of a negative person. A person that is critical, negative, judgmental, that all they do is talk negatively and criticize people and find something negative in everything. Think about that person and then look at their life. Now, you can look at all the negative people that you might know. Look at any of them. And look at their life. Now, are they blessed? Are they having a great life? Look at their family. Is their family blessed? You see, when an individual is critical or judgmental, it spreads to their family. Their family becomes critical and judgmental. And the next thing you know is you find this horrible thing happening in this family. You'll usually find a critical and a judgmental person mean, unforgiving, hateful. You'll usually find them physically sick and ill, mentally going through all sort of duress and problems, simply because they're judging people. They're critical. Now, on the other hand, let's flip it around. Find somebody, think of someone who is always encouraging people, who never comes out with judgmental things, and always finds something good to say about someone in any kind of a situation, and look at their life. Are they blessed? Are they abundant? Are they healthy? Are they happy? Usually you'll find these people at peace. They'll have a great family. They have a great life. They're healthy. They're not mad at anyone. They're just going through life on the top and winning every fight and every battle that they come in contact with. Think. And another thing on this point that I've got to say is that if you're in the boat with Jonah, you're going to go through some rough waters. If you're hooked up with a negative person, and what they're going through is going to splash over on you. And in a negative environment, when we're going through life and we're hooked up with negative people, we'll find that negative things start happening in our lives. It's consistent. On the other hand, you hook up with positive people. You hook up with people that are going forward, that are always applauding and finding good things to say about people and never condemning and always encouraging people. You'll find that good things will start happening to you. Your whole life changes because your perspective of life changes. So I want to just bring this out to you. Are you losing battles? Are you going through defeats? How's life doing right now with you? If you're losing battles, then you need to look in the big picture of this thing. Am I judging? Am I critical? And if you are, then deal with it. Deal with it and stop it. Don't touch that accursed thing. God wants us blessed. Go through the process of elimination and begin to narrow it down. Well, let's look at a couple of more things that I'm calling accursed things that we just better not touch. How about this one? Matthew 12:31 says this. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. That's a long time. In other words, no one gets by with this one. Now, the context is this. Jesus had been ministering, he'd been teaching, he had been preaching, he had been delivering people and healing people. And so the religious system said, he's of the devil. It's really Beelzebub doing this and not God. So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when we attribute the things that God is doing to the devil. Okay, so try to make it kind of simple. Have you ever heard something like this? Those tongues are of the devil. How about? That church is of the devil. Dancing in church is of the devil. That music is of the devil. Now, if you've ever heard that, you go back to the person that you heard say it and look at their life. They are in big trouble with God. See, so oftentimes we attribute to the devil the things of God. See, I prefer to find what God is doing in everything. Not what the devil's doing. I don't care what the devil's doing. I want to find out what God's doing. Come on. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I want to know. Yeah, it may look negative, but probably God's trying to do something. If we'll just tune in to what God's trying to do in any situation, we're going to come out on top. Stop attributing what's going on in your life to the devil and find out what God's trying to do in your life for the kingdom. Don't attribute the things of the Lord to the devil. And when you find people who always are looking for the positive and people that are always trying to find God in every situation, you're going to find people that are having a victorious life. You're going to find people that are always conquering and that always come out on top, that are living an abundant life and they're happy and have peace and have good things happening in their life all the time. No matter what they go through, they always come out on top. So how's your life? Stop attributing them. Those things. Don't touch that. Find where God's moving. Don't say the devil's doing it. Find what God's trying to do. Let's look at another one. Oh, you'll love this one. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offering. You are under a curse. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Now, leave that up there just a second. And notice that again, that God's not cursing those who rob him. They put their own selves under a curse. You see this? Jesus, here's how life works. If you separate my stuff from your stuff, I'm going to find a way to bless you. I'm going to find a window to open so I can pour some blessings out on you. Jesus said you ought to tithe. Tell me the difference, please. We're given this story in Joshua chapter 7 of a man named Achan who took stuff that was sanctified and supposed to be separated for God, and he took it and he mixed it with his stuff. What is the difference of what Achan did and what, say, I would do if I took my tithes and bought clothes with them or put it in my savings account or checking account or used it for me? You see, I have a unique position here where I can really observe how this works. I know how this works. I not only get to see what everyone gives, but I also get to see the struggles and the battles because of my position as pastor of what people are going through. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I knew he'd do it. I knew it. I knew he would just start talking about money. He just wants money. And if that's what you're hearing, then you're not hearing my heart. I want you to have a victorious life. I want you to live in abundance. I want you to move out from the things that are holding you back and conquer your AIs. And I get to watch. And the neatest thing is that people that give consistently always come out on top every time. I'm going to say that again. People who give consistently with their tithes and their offerings always come out on top. Doesn't mean they don't go through stuff, but they always win. Always win. So, in the big picture thing, you know, we got to look at this thing and start evaluating it down and get the big picture, the whole nation. Then we get the tribe, and then we get the family, and then we're finally going to come to the particular problem in which we're facing. And here's how you can know if this, what I'm telling you, is true or not. You find someone that you know without a doubt is constantly given in a consistent way to the kingdom of God with their tithes and their offerings, and you look at their lives. Are they blessed? And do they always come out on top? Look at them. Don't listen to me. Don't have to believe me. Just find it and see if it's true. And then, that's how it works. And you'll find that they live in victory after victory after victory. Doesn't mean they don't have battles. We all have battles. But these people will constantly win. I've told you this before. But do you know the very first thing in the evaluation process that my wife and I go through? Do you know the very first thing she always asks me when we start going through a time where things start getting a little rough? Well, why don't you just tell them? What is the very first thing you always say when we go through a tough time?
Are you tithing?
Are you tithing
enough?
Can you give more? Because that's our big picture. We start there and then we begin to bring it down and to look at it. So how are things in your life? You know, Joshua was told to go through this evaluation process to bring it down to find the problem. The thing that caused the loss of a battle. What is causing you to lose battles? Go through the process and bring it down. Let's look at another one. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, have you ever wondered what that promise is? It says it's the first commandment with promise. Have you ever wondered what that promise is? Here it is. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land, in the place where God wants to bring you for your abundance. You see, if you will notice, and it does, I'm not just talking about 12-year-old children, I'm talking about 40 and 50-year-old children. If you will notice people who have honored their parents, who have obeyed their parents, you will find lives that things are going well with. Young people, hear this. If you want to have a good life, you do what mom and dad say. If you want things to go well with you, now again, don't take my word for it. Find someone that you know does this. Find someone that you know obeys their mother, obeys their dad, obeys elders, elderly people, older people. You find someone who respects those kinds of people, and then you look at their life. And what you will see is somebody going someplace in life. You're going to find someone on the up and up that's going somewhere and going to accomplish something. And on the other hand, you find a rebellious kid. You find somebody that's rebellious and rebelling against mom or dad or whomever. You find that person and you'll see a life going downhill. You say, it's big. These things are big. And if you'll do it right, you'll win victory and have victory after victory, after victory. Okay, I want to do one more curse thing. Galatians 1:8 says this. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message than the one we told you about. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. How long? Whoa. I'll say it again. Paul says, I don't want you to miss this one. I'll say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you welcomed, let God's curse fall upon that person. How important is it for a teacher or a preacher to have proper doctrine? Is it pretty important? Yeah. It's the difference of being blessed or not being blessed. But how important is it also to have a preacher? Because you're in the boat with him, right? To have a preacher that preaches proper doctrine. You see, it's the difference in our lives being blessed or not. It's the difference in us winning victories or losing the battles. It's the difference in us having an abundant life or going through life holding on to a knot on the end of the rope. A victorious church is dependent upon correct doctrine. And I get frightened sometimes when I hear some of the things that preachers say, and I know they know better. That's what really frightens me. Is when I know they know better, but yet they say these things and teach these things, and I know what the Bible says. Now, see, God wants us blessed. He wants us to have an abundant life. That's why He tells us, don't touch this, don't touch this, don't touch this, stay away from this, don't hook up with this. But rather, if you'll do this, this, and this, you can be blessed. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to have great lives. That's why He's not wanting to condemn us or keep us from having fun. What He's wanting to do is give us a blessed, abundant life so the kingdom can expand and we can conquer. So again, go through the process that Joshua was told to go through. And you've got to ask this question. And you do whether I tell you to or not, but you have to ask this question. How do I do? If this is your home church, if this is where you come to church, how do I do when it comes to the gospel? If I am not doing it well, get away from me. Find a place that teaches it right. If I'm not teaching what Paul taught, if I'm not teaching what Jesus taught, then you need to get out of here. Now, I hope you don't. You don't understand what I'm saying. But this is true. Now, here's what Paul taught. Let me show you. Acts chapter 28 and verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of anybody around here that talks more about the kingdom of God than does this old boy. And if it's true, you should be able to look at me and see if I'm blessed. Am I living a victorious life? How do I come out in battles? You see, this is what it's about. It's finding the Achan in each of us. We go through a process. How am I doing here? How am I doing here? How am I doing here? And we finally bring it down. And God will show us that one thing that we really need to fix and we really need to deal with. And that's what happened in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua had to deal with Achan, and it wasn't pretty. Here's what it says in Joshua 7, 25 and 26. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all of Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, his family, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated Achor means troubled. God doesn't want us to live a life of trouble. What He wants us to do is go through the process, discover the Achan in you, in me, stone it, burn it, and pile a heap of rocks on top of it. In other words, He wants you to fix it so it won't ever bother you again. He wants it to become a memorial so you'll remember, I am not going to do that again. And if we'll deal with it like that, then the next chapter of Joshua, they conquer Ai. If you will deal with the Achan in you, and I will deal with the Achan in me, then we will win the next fight that we have. It's that simple. Now, it's not simple dealing with Achan. You've got to go through the process. But if we will, you will have victory after victory after victory after victory. Nothing will stop you in your conquest of the kingdom. You will possess the kingdom. Jesus says, "I come to give you life and that more abundantly." And if you will do these things, and you'll go through the process, you'll start dealing with these things, I promise you, don't judge. Stay away from judging. Don't judge. Instead, find something positive to say about people. And don't deal with things like it's always the devil. Find what God's doing. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Stay away from that. Another thing, make sure you're tithing or at least giving something. Try to do something in that area. And if you will, God will find a window to open you to pour you out a special blessing. To do something special in your life. He'll find a window to open for you. Make sure you're in a church that is preaching it right. Because your doctrine determines your life. What you believe determines your faith. Get into church. Children, obey your parents so that things will go well with you. And you'll have a long, happy life. And if you'll do these things and go through the process, and there's many, many more, just showing you the process, I promise you, you'll discover the thing that's causing you defeat in your life, because God wants you to have the victory. You'll find it, and if you'll deal with it severely, God's going to give you the victory in the next battle that you fight. I guarantee it. How many are wanting to find the aching in you, the thing that's stopping you from living the abundant life? Is that you? Would you raise your hand? Would you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap? Amen. 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 We've got to realize that God's purpose for us is to have an abundant life. Now, I want to pray for people. What do you need today? What do you need from the Lord? You're sick in your body? I tell you what, in the kingdom of God, when Jesus would preach the kingdom, healings happened. I've just taught you the kingdom. If you'll come down, God's going to touch your body. You need healing in your body? Come down. Let us pray for you. He wants to heal you. You got trouble in your soul realm, your mind bothering you, something's in there that needs help, needs delivering, needs to be fixed. Then come down. Let us pray for you. God will touch you. How about your family or your finances or something that you're going through at your work, your children, your parents, whatever. You know, let us pray for you. God wants to minister. He wants you set free. But most of all, let's find the aching in all of us. Amen. Well, what I want to do as we close, as I always try to do, is I want to pray the sinner's prayer. Now, this is how we do it. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. Maybe you've gotten away. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just ask everybody in this room to pray it right along with me. Just repeat after me. And if you're sincere, then what happens is God translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And if you'll begin to walk in it, you can not only see it, but you can enter it. And your life will change. So I ask you, invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord, or either come back to where you know He is. So let's all pray together. Just everybody pray after me. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sin. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. Save me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that, God took it serious. And I hope you did. I want you to come down now for whatever other thing that might be going on in your life, and let us pray and minister to you. Amen. Be coming right now.